So it's the hottest day of the year today,
Oh,
I
it's so
think.
warm.
It's going to be like, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but it's like a gazillion in Fahrenheit or something. And it's like
Off
12, it's like
the
12.
chart.
Well, it's like we live in the UK, so it's like 12 degrees centigrade
Which
outside,
is
which is
exceedingly,
409 Fahrenheit. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
yeah, at least that much.
Anyway, we normally have tea, but this week we have downshift and we're both going for very cold fizzy
A
drinks.
fizzy drink, so we will be like,
We will be
we'll be belching our way
potentially.
through.
However, I would like to point out that as always, there is biscuits because there may be changes coming in life, but one thing is always true, and that is
Biscuits.
biscuits.
Episode of the Fantasy Film League podcast with me, Mr. Smith, and
it's Rich. Hello.
Hello, Will.
We've got lots to, well, no, this is a bit of a review one. We've got like a lot of reviews to cover.
Yeah, we're gonna check in with the game, but we've seen quite a lot of films between us.
Yes. Yeah, we've done quite well. So I don't know if you're looking on Discord, but I have a permanent beef with my local multiplex. So I have
Yeah.
beef with them because
Them
they
or the person that there who
I, it,
decides
so
which films
that's
go on.
exactly it. So I think that there's a manager there who decides what films to have and when to put them on. And whoever this manager was, they didn't put Everything Everywhere All at Once
Oh.
on until it won the Oscar, and then they put it on. I'm like, no, it's too late now.
Yeah.
But they've started showing the big films. So obviously we're now into the blockbuster summer releases stuff,
Yes, it
and all
is
the big
full
films
on.
are coming out on Wednesday, and they're showing them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday now, which is obviously
The
what cinemas
long,
normally
yeah, the
do.
long
So
weekend.
as a result now I can sneak in on a Wednesday evening and watch. So I'm going to watch Indiana Jones and the Dial of
Dial of
Destiny
Destiny,
on
yeah.
Wednesday, which means I should, by the time the weekend comes around, I'll have already
You
seen it.
are,
And
yes.
I got to see The Flash last week on the Wednesday, which we'll talk about later. And I got to see the film this week I saw, which was Jennifer Lawrence in No Hard Feelings. And I have some thoughts on that film. But shall we talk about the news instead?
Yes.
It's in the news.
The full
So the
extended
full
cut.
extended cut. I thought, you know what, you've earned this. I thought I'm gonna give you the full 1 minute 11 dubstep version. Now, I've during lockdown, I took up, I bought a DJ deck. I've been playing
Yes.
with DJ decks. I've thrown it into my set, right?
Oh.
Which is, I know it's a little bit narcissistic because it is me. But in fairness, it is me and Mr. Wilson doing that, and that
Is,
is your
yeah.
work. So that yeah. I will mix that in. I'll mix it in and then just drop into Prodigy or something.
Oh, I was really enjoying just like the first 10 seconds and just enjoying the incongruity of that in the middle of this podcast. And then it's like, oh, this is the long one. And then I forgot. It's been so long since I put that together because I sort of took a basic dubstep track and then like layered on all the other stuff. I've forgotten that there's a second sort of build.
There's a whole thing. There's a second drop. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great. Right. Sorry about that.
That was beautiful.
I'm not entirely sure why that button is there, but well, we, have, no, we seem to have.
It's an important moment in the game because we're like halfway through the year.
It's a good point.
We should mark it with fanfare.
Absolutely. So we're at the halfway point, which is a really good time to look at the one and dones.
Yes.
So to remind everyone,
one and done.
And you all know this, but let's just say, so there's three ways you can play the game. You can play a one and done. So you pick your cast on January the 1st or early on, and then you can't make any changes and they have to run that for the whole year. That is the traditional old game. And you can make, that's it. You have to, it's one and done.
It's a very nice, relaxed game.
It's a really good way.
It's intense at the beginning, a lot of research, and then you just sit back.
Or you just go, I don't know, Timothy What's-His-Face from Dune. He'll be in something. Rebecca, what's her name from Dune? She's going to be in that thing and the other dun-dun-dun-dun one coming up. So yeah, we'll just pick those two.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing you do.
Yep.
And then obviously you can play the longer game, which involves, you know, picking your cast, picking them out, doing that. So it's an easier way.
Spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets and looking up films and taking a shot and complaining about how films don't do as well as you want them to do and secretly hoping that Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy does really well because you stupidly went all in on it. That kind of stuff. which we're going to come back to. Anyway, so let's have a look at some of the one and done. Now, interestingly, I put my one and done in and I'm nowhere. I don't think I'm even in the top 30. Because
I'm scrolling. Oh, there I am. I'm at 27.
Right.
I'm scrolling.
Yeah.
I'm still scrolling.
Yeah. I think I'm way out of this.
Hello, Mr. Estel. Scrolling. I might have missed you on the way past.
I don't think you did.
No. I went all the way to the bottom. I couldn't see. Just fill in why.
Yeah. I'm really not. But the reason is I've played the long game.
You're looking for the end of the year.
I'm looking at the end of the year. I'm hoping that some of them. So I've gone for the end. Now, it would be interesting to see the people who are in the top 10.
Oh, they are. Number 49.
49. So I am in the top 50. Yes. Yep, boom. Just, with the bullet.
Yep.
So, but my cast is a bit more spread out for long term. It'd be interesting to see whether the people who are in the top of the one and done.
Let's have a look. Who have you got? You've got Rob Marshall.
Yep.
Dave Bautista.
Yep.
Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Dune. Rebecca Ferguson,
yep.
Who I'm enjoying in The Silo
at
the moment.
Yes, so am I. And she was on The One Show last night, if you live in the UK. And her and Hayley Atwell were on The One Show. And I've got to be honest with you, it's the first time I've stopped everything in the house to watch The One Show in a long time. I'm like, I'm sorry, we have to watch The One Show now. Everyone's like, why?
Yeah.
Because.
You have Louis Leterrier.
Yeah.
And James Mangold. Now, those two names, James Mangold sounds vaguely
James Mangold
familiar.
Is the director of, he directed Logan. And he has another film coming out, which I've completely forgotten what it is. Louis Leterrier is the guy who got subbed in.
Indiana Jones?
Thank you. He's doing Dial of Destiny. Louis Leterrier is the guy who got swapped in last second to do Fast X. Dave Bautista I've obviously got for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Plus, he's going to be in Dune at the end of the year.
Yep, nice.
Rebecca Ferguson I've got in for Mission Impossible, whatever the hell it's called now.
And June.
Ooh. And Timothy Chalamet is going to be Willy Wonka at the end of the year, which I think is a travesty, but it's going to happen.
Double bubble.
And it's going to be in June.
Time.
Exactly. So
okay,
you
are definitely
so
playing
I've spread
the
it
end
out.
Of the year.
Yeah, I've spread it out a little bit. So that's one tactic.
Okay.
Yeah, you
all
see?
Right.
Did I have John Cena in there as well? I'm pretty sure.
Nope.
No, I think I was trying to work out whether to put in Bautista or Cena.
Yeah.
And I think on balance, I think I'm okay with that. I think Bautista probably is going to make me more money than John Cena would have done.
I think you're right.
So yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway, so yeah, so that's okay, so that's mine. So that's the thinking behind my
very
one,
good.
Which you know could work. So go on.
Let's have a look at the top 10. So at the top of the top of the top 10, in the top 5, there are the usual suspects. You've got
Maximilian,
who's actually quite he's got a little bit of a lead at the moment, 215 million as opposed to Michael, who's in second place with 193, third place, 189. Dean Biggins, 185. Professor Procrastination, very solid, 183.
What's my score?
You were 80 at the minute, so they're like a cool 100.
They're 100 ahead of me. All right, fair play.
Double up on you at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
But then in the second half of the top 10, we've got a few names I do not recognise.
Go on then.
So we've got Volton Hawkman at...
I'm sorry. First of all. Okay. Volton Hawkman.
Yep.
Beautiful.
With 174, which is right.
He needs a bonus just for the name. So go right. on. What's okay. he's in his cast then? Let's
one
have a look at
this. One and done in the film.
So this is the other thing that you can do with the system is you can click in. You can click in and see what people are up to. So you can get some inspiration.
Yeah. So let's see. Have they peaked early?
Yeah.
Or are they still running for the end of the year?
Go on then.
Okay. So Jonathan Majors. So big Ant-Man. So I think
Ant-Man
probably,
and Creed 3.
Creed 3. So spent at this point.
Yeah, pretty much done. Yeah.
Chris Pratt, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So
probably done.
Out.
Yeah.
Zoe Saldana. Now, Zoe Saldana was
a voice in Avatar.
Yeah.
And she was in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
So she's probably played.
I think
out?
She's probably done for the year. She's probably sitting back and relaxing and having a well earned break.
There's nothing I can see coming up immediately for her. So, but she did really well because that Avatar went for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it did.
Then, Timothy Chalamet.
Good choice. Like it, as discussed. Turning up possibly as Willy Wonka at the end of the year, but definitely as Paul, what's-his-face, in Dune Part 2.
Halle Bailey.
Little Mermaid.
Solid choice.
See, I went with Rob Marshall, who's director of Little Mermaid, but I think they were roughly the same price.
Yeah, and then Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Who's going to be in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Now...
Should we talk about Legion's little hiccup with Indiana Jones, or should we...
I mean, we can if you like.
We'll talk about it later on.
Okay, all right. So, I think, so with two to go, so maybe a chance of
maybe,
hanging in there?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should go and look at perhaps a minute at the end, just see who...
Yeah, we'll have a look. Let's see some of the...
Number seven with 166 million, Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass, great name.
A Kick-Ass name. One and done film called Kick-Ass 2.
Nice.
Very on brand.
Very good.
Right, in Kick-Ass 2 you have Dave Bautista.
Nice.
Chris Pratt.
Yep.
Florence Pugh.
Now, that's a good shout. So what's she going to be
She's
in?
Gonna
what's
be
she
in
this
Oppenheimer.
Year?
Oppenheimer.
Oh! You see, I don't know about Oppenheimer. Because Oppenheimer's going to be up against Mission Impossible and Barbie.
And she was a voice in Puss in Boots too, which has done a lot of work.
Which stuck around, yeah.
Yep. And Don't Worry Darling. Who was in Don't Worry Darling?
Her. Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles and her. Yeah, that was actually quite a good... Have you seen Don't Worry Darling?
No.
It's kind of good, but it kind of... It's an extended Twilight Zone episode, but it's still quite good. Chris Pine is in that, and he was really good in that.
Oh, is this the Chris Pine film you were telling me about?
This is the Chris Pine film I was talking about. And then he was also in Dungeons and Dragons, which was also a really good film.
I've not seen anyone pick Chris Pine yet.
Interesting. He would have been quite a good. Mm. It'd be interesting to see at the end of the year how much
a
Chris
little bit
Pine.
Below the radar.
He is, but I think he turns up in solid stuff now, because I just look at him and just think he's just a slightly smirking Captain Kirk.
Okay. For the rest of the cast on Kick-Ass 2, we have Jonathan Majors.
Yep.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Kind of obvious for...
Yeah, Vin Diesel's a good shout, but...
And then Chloe Coleman, costing only $3 million and in Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm.
And...
Was she the wizard?
And 65. Do you remember the Adam Driver...
The Jurassic Park virtual reality ride. Yeah, the one with the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Also in that. So, for $3 million, potentially...
Mm.
Pretty smart. What has
That's not a bad
Chloe?
Show, actually.
Chloe has grossed nearly 18 million this year
on a 3 million investment.
On a 3 million.
Fair
investment.
Play. Hang on. No, I've said investment. Now I have to. Well played.
Good. Right. Back to the top 10. We're now at number 8 with 165. So only 1 million behind Kick-Ass. We have Minty. Now I think I've seen Minty's name about in the charts in the past, but
okay,
this is very good right now.
Right, you talk. I mean,
a good run so far in the one and done.
Okay,
number 8, Guardians of the Movies.
Nice,
starring
good. Like it.
Right, we're going to get a bunch of repeated names here.
Yeah, but
Chris
it's
Pratt,
interesting.
Vin Diesel, Zoe Saldana, Rebecca Ferguson, and then Zachary Levi.
Mm.
Or is it
Shazam?
Levy? For Shazam, and possibly coming up, a film called Harold and the Purple something or other, animation. So probably not going to make. But smart to buy someone who's got two films out coming up.
And then don't forget Vin Diesel. Yeah. Vin Diesel would have got voice for Guardians as well by saying "I'm Groot" once or twice.
Also, for another one of the sort of cheeky $3 million investments, Ariana Greenblatt, who you might not know, but was in 65, young, young actor in 65, and also is going to be in Barbie. So this is the first
person who's got something in Barbie. Now,
obviously not starring, but I have a film that feeling that that might be a film with legs.
I think very long legs. Very long legs. Long legs that are disproportionate to actual sizes of proper women and give negative body images, but are definitely working on that. Yeah. I think Barbie's going to be huge. I think it's going to be the summer film. It's going to be the one that's just going to hang around for the whole of July, August, and most of September. I think Oppenheimer will come in, do very well box office wise, but I don't think it'll stick around as long because I think it's a serious, proper serious film with proper seriousness.
Big explosion in the box office, and then
you went for the big explosion joke. Yeah, it was just hanging there.
It was right there.
Sometimes
you have to be really.
Sometimes you've got to push that button, haven't you? Mm-hmm. But no, I think Barbie's going to do really well. So and obviously it's going to be up against Mission Impossible, but that sounds bad, but it's not necessarily because they are two very different films with two very different audiences.
Okay, back in the chart, number 9 at 162. So we've got three films here, within like 4 million fufflebugs of each other in the chart. So tight. Brian 31, name I don't recognise.
I mean, I recognise the other previous 30 Brians, but obviously Brian 31.
31, new on the scene.
Is this his dating profile or is this just Brian 31? Sorry, go on.
With Mules at the Movies full year, that's a title that rolls off the tongue, and we have still some variation, but some familiar names. Jonathan Majors, Dave Bautista, Chris Pratt, Timothée Chalamet. Then Michelle Rodriguez, Fast X.
Yeah, and Dungeons & Dragons.
And, really good point.
Yeah.
She was good in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Have you seen Dungeons and Dragons?
No, it's on my list to see.
You need to see it. It's really good. You'll really enjoy it. Sorry.
And then finally, Stephen Caple Jr. Looks like a director to me.
Don't know who Stephen Caple Jr. is.
I think director of Rise of the Beasts.
Oh, the Transformers. Stupid fighting robots.
6 million fuffles.
Okay, that's not bad.
Now, is the Transformers the one that's absolutely plummeted? Like, it lost 70%?
I think so. It came in really strong. And then stayed like, but you know, and again, we've always talked about 4 weeks of winning. Generally speaking, your film has to be running in the charts for 4 weeks before you're starting to look at getting back your investment. Unless, of course, you spent loads of money on someone very expensive. So I think it might have just broken even if we look
at that as a film, really, you've got Timothée Chalamet is the only unspent potential in that cast. So they'll definitely be getting some from Michelle right now, some from Stephen Caple Jr. But the rest of that cast are pretty played out.
They're pretty done.
So I think they'll probably be sort of fading until the end of the year. They get a blip at the end, but I think they're going to struggle against the competition. Then finally, at number 10, we've got Tori Snyder again, another long term player. Try This Again is their one and done film.
Try This Again. That's lovely and optimistic, isn't it? Right. We're going to try this again.
Yeah. Okay. It's starting to feel very familiar. Dave Bautista, Zachary Levi, Chris Pratt, Rebecca Ferguson, Jonathan Majors, but Brie Larson. So turning up in The Marvels
and Fast X. Yes, because Brie Larson's going to be in The Marvels at the end of the year because that film has been delayed like 5 times, which is a little bit like The Flash, which I'm going to talk about later on. And that's had all kinds of problems with it. But I would say that's
about 60% played out because you've got Rebecca Ferguson still to come.
Yeah.
Plus Brie Larson, so definitely going to be again picking up at the end of the
year. Yeah, you got to just get the tail end.
Christmas holidays running. Yeah, no, it's good. Those films.
So the Jonathan Majors is an interesting one. So do you reckon everyone picked Jonathan Majors because he was supporting in Creed, which apparently was very good in that, and then obviously he was Kang the thingy in Ant-Man, and then do you think everyone was expecting him to turn up as a cameo at the end of every Marvel film? Because he didn't. Because he didn't turn up at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nope.
And I,
well,
I
because,
don't...
because it was a sort of an end of an era.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I think that the reason he's such a popular choice is because everyone was assuming they were going to get a hey, isn't that, for every Marvel film that comes out.
Let's remember where we were at the beginning of the year. Disney had not thrown, you know, the anchor out on all of the releases.
Exactly, yes.
So I think people were expecting more films.
We're expecting about 5 more Marvel films, and actually we're only going to get 2.
Mm.
So yeah, it's interesting.
And I think also we didn't know, I think we had high hopes for Ant-Man because the first, you know, the 2 Ant-Mans before were pretty good. We watched Ant-Man Quantumania at home.
Yeah.
Really quite boring.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's because you didn't have your man Lewis in it going, well, man, that's a complicated question.
Yeah, they took the best.
They took the best bit out.
The
I was genuinely annoyed, and I left the cinema going, all I wanted to do was him doing a diddly, and I'm like, yeah. And she's like, hey, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And they failed me.
There were good bits, but it was just missing. Before we finish, let's as a benchmark, let's see what perhaps a million.
All right, let's pick it. Let's pick
very
up.
Top.
Go on then.
That's what they have got in their film. This film will not win. Is the name of the
Oh, meta. It's a meta reference. Very nice.
Okay. Kind of zero surprises here. We've now seen everyone that's in this cast.
Go
We've
for
got
it.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors. Ariana Greenblatt.
Yeah.
Brie Larson and Chris Pratt. So I think actually to come is only Brie Larson.
And.
Now.
And Dave Bautista was going to get a bump for Dune at the end of the year.
Okay, yeah, and a support. So I would say that's probably like 80% played out as a film. So actually,
that film might not win.
That film might not win.
The title of that film might be correct because that film might not win.
Doesn't look at it like now, but yeah, it was definitely more front loaded.
So you see, this is the thing about the one and done is I'm sure you can win it if you pick the right film and just absolutely go crazy on it. And that, like, if you'd gone all in on Fast and Furious. You might have actually done it, and then you would have got a little bit of bonuses with a few other appearances. Or you can, like I've done, I'm languishing in 49th
and
position.
A bit like me too. I definitely.
But I haven't played out my cast yet.
Yeah.
I'm still to go.
I've gone moderately heavy in the late year.
Because I'll see a bump. I'll see a bump now when Indiana Jones hits, because I've got the director for Indiana Jones. Mm. But should have picked Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
should have picked Mads Mikkelsen
because
he's Mads Mikkelsen.
Well, obviously, yeah.
It doesn't matter what else he's in. He's Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. Why didn't I pick Mads Mikkelsen? Mm. I'm disappointed in myself. Right, I need to move on. I'm disappointed.
Let's put this one to bed. We're going to talk about films now.
So
real films.
Real films. So let's talk. Let's start in a positive note.
Okay.
I went to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Across the
Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse. Thank you. The new one.
Yes.
And you've seen it as well now.
Yes. Just last week.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's good fun.
So I went to see it with Little B because Little B was very keen. I was going to go and see it by myself, and she's like, "Well, can I come?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So I went into my local multiplex.
Now, had she seen the first one?
She has seen the first one, but she's watched it a few years ago, and she was like, yeah, whatever, it was all right. Mm. So I read out the times for her, you know, 11 o'clock, half 11, 11:45, 11:55, 12:10, 12:15, 12:27.
All the screens.
And she picked the 2 o'clock screening. She went, 2 o'clock, because her thinking was, we can have lunch, and then 2 o'clock, I'll still be able to get a popcorn thingy bag, because she's all about the popcorn.
Okay.
So she's optimizing snacks. She's thinking straight on this.
Good.
But as it happened, the 2 o'clock showing is we have in our local multiplex, we have the wobbly seats. We have
not because it's old and decrepit.
No, this is like an interactive roller coastery seat thing. I think the branding is 4DX or something.
Mm.
Which is the multiplex that we go to. And it sprays air at you. It blows water. At you. Blows air at you, and the seat moves. Now, when I say the seat moves. I'm talking like I was on like I went to see. There's a really bad film called Plane, which is Gerard Butler, right? And there's a plane crash, and they land the plane on a pirate infested island.
Oh yeah.
And then they have to. It was not a very good film. I watched that in 4D. Right. The biggest set piece on that is the plane crash. I was in that plane crash, right? I was in that. These seats pitch like 25 degrees each way, forward and back and up and down. It's serious. So there's one point in Spider-Man where Miles Morales has bounced off a skyscraper and is being chased by something, right? I was pummeled for 2 hours in this film.
So you need to sort of see a chiropractor at the end of it.
Little B had to go up and use the loo. So she dashed off to get to the loo, get back in. I had to hold her hand and like kind of like go one, two, and then jump back onto the seat because it was moving, right? It was like rocking around. We left. I mean, there's one point where he shoots a web and it grabs someone in the back, right? Mm-hmm. At which point I'm punched in the back by an actuator and we're both kind of go. So for the first 5 minutes, she says to me, she goes, "Is someone kicking my seat?" And I went, "Why?" She goes, "Keep getting punched in the back." And I went, "No, this is the thing." And she's like, "I thought someone was kicking my seat." I was going to turn around and go, "Oi, behind me." So we watched this in full effect, right?
Right, okay.
It was awesome. Anyway, really enjoyed it. Really.
It's a very frenetic pace.
Try watching in a wobbly seat.
I think it's sort of a film that I would happily go back and watch again because there's so many jokes.
Oh yeah!
In the background, and it's so densely packed.
There's a lot of Spider-Mans going on.
So many
Spider-Mans. Yeah. All of the Spider-Mans. It looks really.
But at the same time, there's like a really good story between Miles and Gwen.
Yeah.
And I like how it's bookended by Gwen's story.
Yeah.
Probably not a huge spoiler, but it's very cliffhangery.
It ends in the same way that June ends, which is like,
yeah,
we're ending now, and you go, "Wait, what?" And you go, "Yeah, yeah, over, go home." We go, "What? But come back next year."
And with a proper twist that made me sort of go, "Oh, one of those." Yeah. So it delivers, and just like amazing animation style, and
it's very cleverly done. There's a lot of this, because obviously, so effectively the story is that all of the Spider-Men across all of the multiverses, and there's different Spider-Men and Spider-Women, and there's
and
Wild
spider
West
things.
Spider-Things, there's a cat,
yep,
the Spider-Cat, there's a guy with a horse,
yep,
be Spider-Man, Wild West Spider-Man, but the horse obviously also wears a Spider-Man mask,
it's
insane, but they all kind of work together to police reality and make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Yes.
And they run around and jump about and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, they don't want Miles involved in their little thing. They don't want it in the club.
Yes.
But everyone else is pretty much multi-dimensional Spider-Man. But there's a really funny bit where it drops into the Lego universe.
Yes.
But...
Well, that's very much a callback because it's the guys who wrote
did
the Lego movie.
But the reason that they did it is the person who animated the Lego section of that film is a 14-year-old kid.
No way.
And what he did is he did Across the Spider-Verse trailer, but did it rendered completely in a Swede style in Lego.
Oh, amazing.
And they went to him and said, "We'd like you to do one scene for the film in Lego." And
yeah, it's like real Lego. It's not like CG Lego, the Lego movie, is it?
No, I think it's CG Lego.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
But still, you animate, but your only animation blocks are the blocks of Lego that exist in the world.
It looked more... It's going to sound stupid. It looked more realistic. It looked more like real Lego.
I don't know. It's possible, but... Yeah. But yeah, it was either way. It was very good, and I really enjoyed it.
One criticism: it did feel a little long at the end. It felt a little bit like it had multiple endings. I was kind of like, "Is this the end? Another bit." And it wasn't that the final ending was not satisfying being a cliffhanger, but it did sort of just feel they could have edited it down.
You
by
kind
10
of
minutes.
Think, yeah, could they have turned it into one 3-hour film rather than two 2-hour?
Yeah, but the rest of the time it flies.
But it's 2 hours though.
It flies past. Literally,
some good voices. Some good voices in it.
Yes,
Jason Schwartzman is the nemesis in it.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac is in it.
Yeah.
As dark, terrifying Spider-Man. I mean, proper scary Spider-Man. Also, like, what's going on? There's also his name is Miguel O'Hara. And you go, where does that name come from?
Yeah. I was watching it with Mrs. Smith, and when it turns out that it's like he's a vampire Spider-Man.
Is he?
I just look at her because she loves the vampire stuff. And it's like... They made a bit just for you.
and that's the universe you can live in. But it was really good. And because you have to deal with multiple levels of reality, it doesn't confuse you. It doesn't, you don't say, go, right, hang on, what? Or, and it's just, it's done in a really good way. And yeah, I really
enjoy it. It's definitely on the right side of the multiverse things. You've got on one side, you've got like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and you've got your Spider-Man multiverse ones. And then on the other side, you've got like Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, you really work. Good Sam Raimi film, terrible Marvel film.
At the other end. So yeah, it's definitely on the right side of the do it all. It's good.
And the question is, how did the Flash do? Where does the Flash land on that scale?
Right.
Let's find out after this interstitial break. And the short answer is, not great.
Moving on. No.
No.
Let's talk about the Flash. Yeah. I've not seen this. I'm very interested.
So, went to see Spider-Man and very good. Left it going, I'm looking forward to that. And Little B has already said, we have to go and see the third one, but we also have to go and see it on the wobbly seats because it won't feel the same unless we see the book. So we're going to go see it on the wobbly seats if you're up for coming with us.
Oh, wow.
But you might want to wear like a thick jacket so you don't get just a big puffer jacket, punched. Anyway, so The Flash has come around. Now, The Flash has had a troubled production.
I believe that's the usual terminology.
Yes. Now, the reasons for this is that they've rebooted the DCEU universe type thing.
Which is, again, the polite way of saying, fired everyone who's involved with all of the dire films that came before.
Yes. They have. So they've got James Gunn in now, who's going to run the whole thing. And he's effectively...
Mr. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. And he's effectively doing a restart. Now, what's interesting is, don't panic, is that I saw a trailer for Blue Beetle. And Blue Beetle is a superhero you never heard of, a superhero that if you have heard of, you're not going to have hugely strong opinions of. And it seems, basically, it's Iron Man. It's Guy...
Blue.
Guy develops indestructible suit of armor and takes on local, like, not planet-wide catastrophe, but local gangs with it. And it looks like a very nice reset point.
Yeah. And is this a James Gunn era?
This isn't. I don't think this is a James Gunn era. They can do the Blue Beetle without causing any issues with anything else.
Doesn't because cross they can, over with anything.
They can, so if it does well, they can keep them. If it doesn't well, they can just ditch them and they're all good. So with The Flash, though, The Flash has got Ben Affleck in it as Batman.
Yep.
Wonder Woman does turn up for like 20 seconds.
Okay.
And at the very, very end, if you sit around for 20 minutes, you'll also get 30 seconds of Aquaman. Right? But that's it. So The Flash obviously was in the Justice League movie.
Yes.
And The Flash is played by Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ezra Miller has had all kinds of problems. And as a result of this, the rest of the cast have had to do all the heavy lifting. The problem with The Flash is Ezra Miller's in this film twice.
Right.
So effectively, Barry goes back to put right what once went wrong and basically messes everything up.
Right. Butterfly effect.
He then tries to go forward again, but misses and ends up going to the point where General Zod turns up in Superman. So like 3 or 4 years earlier than he should have done. But at this point, he bumps into himself the day before he gets his powers.
Okay.
So there's floppy-haired 21-year-old Barry, and then there's slightly more serious, sensible haircut 25-year-old Barry.
Okay.
And they both stay in the film for the whole film.
Okay.
So there's two of them.
Right.
Now,
Double Ezra.
Now, that's an issue if you've cast Ezra Miller as The Flash, because he has some issues at its point. What they possibly could have done was used an alternate version of him, because other people turn up in the film who are not so go looking for Superman, but they can't find Superman. Instead, they find Supergirl, who is Superman's cousin.
Right.
Because in this universe, Superman didn't make it to Earth, but his cousin did.
Right.
So she has got all the powers that Superman does, but she's obviously not Superman. Mm. And then he goes and tries to find Bruce Wayne, because obviously Bruce can help, because Bruce has got, and Ben Affleck was there a minute ago. Mm. But now when he turns up, Bruce Wayne still exists, but he's not Ben Affleck. He's not Ben Affleck. Yeah. It's now Michael Keaton.
In the, perhaps least well-kept secret of this movie.
But Michael Keaton's really, really good in this film, and he is our Batman.
Is he Tim Burton?
Yes,
Batman?
Yeah, he is. Excellent. But he's also,
There's
older.
Got to be a certain amount of enjoyment in that,
and there is. But that just kind of tickles the nostalgia bone, and that's all there is to it. And then General Zod turns up, which is an interesting choice because Michael Shannon just kind of phones it in. Right. And then the wheels don't fall off. The wheels kind of keep falling into a causality loop. And then it all gets a bit wibbly wobbly.
Okay, that's messing
Yeah, time travel's confusing, and this is why we shouldn't be messing with it.
No.
But
Unless you've done the training.
Or you've got like the time bunker.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just kind of goes, but also it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
But you know it's not going to go anywhere because obviously Ezra Miller's not going to be the Flash anymore because he's you know taking some time to address his issues. Then there's a bit at the end, right?
Oh, like post credits bit or
no?
In the main
right
film.
Before the end, right now. Right. In fairness, I am going to spoil something, so I will give you a warning on this, and I'm going to spoil it for you. But you're going to thank me for it.
Okay.
And I saw it coming, and I got really annoyed.
Right.
Anyway,
spoiler warnings now. Or
spoiler warnings. Give me a minute, okay? Minute on spoiler warnings. So jump forward a minute now if you have. Let's get a watch because I need to make sure I stay.
Okay,
I'm going to be really good for this because I'm very aware. Right, got. Sorry about this.
Just
okay,
click, just need to wind
just push
it up.
Button.
Just gonna get there.
Just turn
we're
the
doing.
On.
We're doing
one minute.
Okay, hang on. 1 minute. Go.
So at the end of the Flash, during the Flash, they talk about the fact that he goes back and changes something, but he doesn't change just the future. He changes the past and basically jumps into a different universe, which is Batman's a different Batman.
Yeah.
So he puts it all back right again, right? Yeah. And then he jumps back forward again and manages to get his dad out of prison, and his mom still dies, but he kind of puts it back as well he can.
Right.
And then the phone rings and it goes, Bruce Wayne. And it just, Bruce Wayne voice goes, oh, hey, yeah, well done. Congratulations. Yeah. And I went, I recognize that voice.
Uh-oh.
That's not Ben Affleck. And then the car pulls up, Bruce Wayne gets out, and it's George freaking Clooney. And you just go, no. And he's like at the beer and he goes, hi. But then at which point, because it's a 12, you can have one use of the F word. So Barry just goes, who the are you? Right? And I just went, no, Clooney. No. So completely trolls the audience. And Clooney just goes, fill him over. And it really annoyed me, but there we go. And that's your minute. So that was a rant. If you've seen The Flash, please go back and listen to that because Oh,
that's egregious.
But it's a bit trolly and it's a bit like, and you just go, okay, fine. And then it finishes and you go, right, I'm done with this.
Okay.
So, it just kind of.
And then it finishes.
But the film should have come out like 18 months ago.
A long time ago.
But there's been loads of issues, been loads of reshoots, loads of delays, loads of all kinds of problems.
Just been trying to wait for the Ezra Miller situation to just calm down.
Possibly go away, yeah. It is a very also ran film.
Yeah.
So
it's
going to be no one's favourite.
I listened to an interview, like a publicity interview, and the people that got doing the publicity is the producer and director, who are a brother and sister, going around. So when the only people who...
Supergirl and Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Michael Keaton.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the only people who are, like, busy, like, you know, selling it out there and doing the publicity tour are the production, the director and the producer. It's like, oh, okay, no one's really... No one's really into it, were they? And the star is, like, definitely can't be doing this.
He can't be doing those things, yeah.
Generally,
just a bit of a...
Yeah.
A bit of a disappointment. I think it would have been all right had it been released a couple of, like a year or so ago.
Just think everyone's going to forget about it.
It's very, very forgettable. So let's forget about it and move on. Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy. So I was joking about this last podcast because I kept forgetting. The name of the film is No Hard Feelings. I saw it on Wednesday. It is. It is not good.
Your face does not does not transmit so it, joy.
So, briefly, Jennifer Lawrence is in this film. She's 32 years old in this film. She's right. 32 year. She's a 32-year-old woman. Mm. Keep that in mind. Mm. She is living in Montauk, which is obviously where all the rich people live. But she's there, and she works there all year round. So all the summer people come in, and then so she has a house, and she's she's struggling to make ends meet. She's an Uber driver, and she loses her car because she's
Jennifer Lawrence, Uber driver.
Yes, because she's basically a bit flighty, and she's got obviously issues. Blah blah blah. She is then hired by a rich family to date their son. And when I say date, I mean date.
Okay.
Like date.
Right.
Okay. At which point...
The logical conclusion of that process.
Indeed. At which
date
point...
Date to the fullest extent possible.
At which point they say, oh, you know, we are fully supportive of sex workers. And she goes, oh, I'm not a sex worker. But they're basically, they're hiring...
Okay, well, at least they're like...
stick a thing. Okay.
Yeah, at least they're kind of upfront about that.
So her mission, should you choose to accept it, and she will, because they'll give her a car if they date their son, so she can continue to be an Uber driver.
Right.
Okay. So she's going to find the son and, bring him better, because the whole point is that he's very shy and he's bringing up his shell and blah, blah, blah. So rather than encouraging him in other ways or getting him to meet people of his own age.
They hire a 32-year-old.
She's 32 years old.
Not sex
worker. He's 19.
Okay, what is it? It's divide by two and add seven.
So it's half your age plus seven is the rule.
Oh, so 16 plus seven. 21.
20. Yeah.
Okay, and he's 19.
It's already icky, right?
Yeah.
So she throws herself at this guy, and he obviously panics because she's very sexually aggressive, and this is a 19-year-old child, right?
Yep.
19-year-old child. You can't even drink at this age.
Yes.
Okay? And it doesn't work. Mm. This film probably would have been okay if it had been released at roughly the same time as American Pie in 1998 or 1999.
Acceptable or just understandable?
It would have flown. It still would have been like, ew. But it doesn't work in 2023.
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence is in this, and she's won an Oscar. What the hell is she doing in this film? Right. Also, it's not.
She's in as a producer.
It's not as funny as it thinks it is.
Yeah.
There's a really bad sequence where he meets somebody who is age appropriate, and he knows, and basically disappears with her at a party, and Jennifer Lawrence hunts him down at this party to basically stop the girl that he's met from dating him. Because obviously then she doesn't get the car, right? So this is problematic, right?
Yeah.
At which point she's looking for him, and there's two guys who she starts to engage with. She basically tells them both that they should leave her alone and they should date each other.
Right.
At which point they respond with, well, that's a bit homophobic and that doesn't really work with us. And they start filming her on their phones to basically point out, so cancel culture kicks in quite quickly. She then goes, woke kids are so just exhausting, and goes off, kicks a door down to stop this boy from, who has legitimately met this other girl to have a connection with, to stop any dating happening, and then extracts him from the building whilst also being filmed by all the kids. It doesn't work. It's a really, really bad film. Here's my thinking on this film. Imagine recasting this, except he's 32, and she's 19, and always, an awkward, awkward girl, right?
This is always a very good experiment,
right?
To run.
So I sat in the cinema going, "This isn't." There was 2 points I smiled at this, right?
Yeah.
One was a film reference, because she decides to go skinny dipping, because obviously skinny dipping always works. He gets in the water with her in the sea, and he says, "I'm pretty sure this is the opening scene of Jaws," and I laughed, right?
Yep.
And the other one was her trying to get someone's name right. Because his name was Laird. And she says, "Laird?" He says, "Laird." And she goes, "What? Laird?" He goes, "Yeah, it's Laird." Which is as in like a lasagna. And he goes, "No, Laird isn't Laird." And he says, "Just call me Laird." And she goes, "I can't." Right? That was the other funny joke. The rest of it's not funny. It's really bad. Oof. So,
how did this happen?
I don't know. And that's the thing.
Well, I mean, when I sort of saw your immediate reaction on Discord. I sort of went to go look up, and it's like one of the writers was the writer from Dirty Grandpa, which is
bad.
What's this film called again?
It's called No Hard Feelings.
Yeah,
but I've just called it Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy. Because you just go,
and that's why I keep forgetting what it's called. Yes, now in my head,
I know.
It's
I'm sorry. Jennifer, and this, yes, Lawrence sex comedy, but it's
I'm just trying to look at what the budget. I'm just trying to understand, like, how did she end up in this?
I don't know.
It's like, what?
What were you thinking? It's
I
very.
Don't think I've got the budget.
It's
here.
Very odd.
Yeah.
It's a very odd film. It is. It's a real '90s throwback. It's like there was a whole slew of 90s films where he was dating the nerdiest girl to prove that he could do it, and then she you know, she turns up while Sixpence None the Richer Kiss Me is playing, and then he's asked to date the terrible sister because the other guy wants to date the hot sister, which is 10 Things Ahead About You, which is an amazing film. But again, it's a very good film.
I hate fast comedies.
Yeah.
They're just awful.
It's it's just really, really bad. And I left and I just went, but I was in the cinema, and the cinema, this was again on Wednesday, there was maybe 20 people in the cinema. And
not packed out.
No one laughed. There was no laughter.
Really?
There was no
Tumbleweed Central.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's, I mean, yikes. So I don't think anyone's gone really heavy in on the investment on this, but it just, you just look at
this. You could see it was bad a mile away.
You just look at it and you just go, why? I just don't understand. It's one of those things. But then this reminded me of the fact that we did Bad Film Club a while back, and we watched Gods of Egypt, which is a terrible film. But apparently, allegedly, someone goes, it was financed through a lot of tax incentives. Because you filmed it in certain areas, or film it certain things, or you certain, because you get like a huge, you get like it's
the money game.
It's a money game because you can fund the film through tax incentives, and therefore you bring the budget down. And I'm thinking, was this sponsored by like the Montauk Tourist Association? Because if it was, then you shouldn't. Because
did you not wait through the credits to see?
No, I was.
You were out of there.
I was out of there.
And I think an important note about Bad Film Club, the worst films for Bad Film Club are boring ones. And I think unfunny comedies are some of the most boring films.
So let's
not put this on the Bad Film
List. I think we need to put this on the Bad Film
List.
Yeah, because if I had to watch this film, you idiots are coming with me. But it reminded me of Failure to Launch. Remember we watched Failure to Launch? Matthew McConaughey is living in a coastal tourist rich town, a little bit like Montauk, is living with his parents and is pretty rubbish. And they hire Sarah Jessica Parker to date him and get him out of the house.
Yes.
However, he is a 30-something-year-old douche man boy, and she is roughly the same age as him.
Exactly.
And
it's not icky. Really bad.
It's just icky. Anyway, I'm so glad that you mentioned the half your age plus 7 rule, because I apply that to everything, right? Because like you look at the Mission Impossible film, Hayley Atwell, and you kind of go, how old's Tom Cruise? I mean, he looks great for it, but how old's Hayley Atwell? No, I'm not sorry. But there's always a very big disparity in films. There's always like, you know, he's 55 and she's 23.
Yeah.
So
Sean Connery and
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Wrong.
Right, we have to move on now. So I think that's pretty much it for this.
Yep.
I was going to talk about Bond.
Because
there's been stuff going on.
There's
a bit of chit-chat on Bond. But there's probably a longer story to go on. But we have been talking about, I just started a little bit on Mission Impossible. We just watched the first Mission Impossible film. And I was talking about whether we should start her on Bond.
Yes.
But the question is, where do you start? Because really want to go back to the Connery years.
Right.
Because
it's
not aged too well. Everyone smokes. Sexual politics is a bit weird. And I'm just, I don't know. And then obviously, On a Magic Secret Service with George Lazenby is an amazing film. Yeah. But it's, again, it's 1969.
And that ending's a bit...
Ending's phenomenal. Ending's phenomenal. As a star point, can you imagine that?
As a star point for Bond?
Yes, that's great, though. That kind of underpins his whole point.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe. Then, I don't know. And then you got Roger Moore. But some of them are really painful. So I might just kind of do a selection of Roger Moore.
Right, yeah.
But obviously, I'm not skipping Dalton, because Dalton's the best.
Oh, he's a legend.
Right? Because some people said you should start with Goldeneye. I was like, no, I need to start with... I mean,
Neeson in Goldeneye is a bit of a classic. I do have a soft spot for him in that film, and just the whole of it. But, you know.
Neeson?
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan?
Liam Neeson.
Pierce Brosnan?
Who's Pierce Brosnan?
What the hell are you talking about?
Liam Neeson, you know, Goldeneye, that run of films, you know, that came after.
You think Roger Liam. Moore. Okay, so you think it goes Roger Moore.
Dalton. Yeah, yeah.
You think it goes Roger Moore.
Connery.
Moore.
Moore, Lazenby.
Yeah. Dalton.
Dalton.
Sorry,
Neeson.
Okay, look. Neeson. No. Right, no. We got a problem. You need to get immediately into the time bunker.
Why?
No, something's gone wrong. Something's gone seriously wrong.
Seriously?
Something's gone wrong with the timeline. Get in the time bunker. Get in the time bunker.
I'm going to the time bunker.